What else do you need to know on this stuff? You need to know about Rutherford's discovery of the nucleus. Rutherford, he was a genius. He was one of those scientists working in Britain who changed the way we viewed the universe. Not quite as dramatically as Newton did, but hell, he still changed the way we view the universe. I think he was a Kiwi originally, but he did all his work in Manchester. Important fellow, Rutherford. And Geiger and Müller, the guys who invented the GM tube, well, they were his students. Very important fellow. Rutherford made big, big advances in the field of nuclear physics. And when Rutherford came along, everybody had this plum pudding idea of an atom. An atom was like this lump with the pudding being the positive charge and the plums within it being the electrons. And you could pick the electrons out to make ions. But Rutherford showed by firing his alpha particles at his gold leaf that couldn't be the case, because most of his alpha particles went straight through and a few of them completely bounced back on themselves. And how did he explain this? Well, he explained it by saying that there must be a very heavy, tiny centre surrounded by a lot of nothing. Because most of the alpha particles go straight through, so they must be going through the lots of nothing. Some of them bounce right back on themselves, and that must mean that they're hitting the very heavy centre. And if they're bouncing completely back on themselves, that very heavy centre must have the same charge as the alpha particles. So he said there was a positive nucleus that was surrounded by a lot of nothing, which was the electrons. The electrons take up almost no space, so a few electrons whizzing around, nothing. That was Rutherford's idea, and Rutherford used calculations based on the number of alpha particles he saw being scattered to work out just how big the nucleus must be in comparison with the whole size of the atom, and he turned out to be just about bang on. Very clever guy. Important stuff. They like to ask you about that experiment, so find the pages on that experiment in your book, 201, read up on that experiment, because they do like to ask you about that experiment in the exam. Okay, where are we? I think we are time for another song. That's where we are. Pacific Blue. Okay, last bit. Nuclear fission, nuclear fusion. Fission means splitting apart. So nuclear fission is when big nuclei split apart. And nuclear fusion is, fusion means sticking together, fusion means putting together and making one thing. So nuclear fusion is when small nuclei join together to form larger ones. Nuclear fusion mostly happens in stars. Nuclear fusion is the energy behind the sun, whereas nuclear fission is something that only occurs on Earth. It's a man-made process. And nuclear fission can happen very occasionally in nature in uranium-235, of which there's a very tiny amount. Most of the uranium that's around is uranium-238, which goes through alpha decay. Uranium-235 is, I think, the only naturally occurring isotope that will split apart. So every now and again, a U-235 will split apart. But we tend to induce it in nuclear chain reactions by having lots of U-235 concentrated in a small area. And then when one U-235 splits apart, it splits into two big lumps. Those two big lumps we don't really care about. They're nasty radioactive stuff. And it also fires out two or three neutrons. Those two or three neutrons get absorbed by other U-235s, causing those other U-235s to immediately split apart. Those other U-235s then spit out more neutrons. Those neutrons fly off, get absorbed by other U-235s that then split apart and fire out other neutrons that go off and go to other U-235s that then split apart and fire out other, and you get a chain reaction. And of course, if you let that chain reaction go wild, if you've got a really high density of U-235, that chain reaction produces masses of energy, and that's a nuclear bomb. If you keep that chain reaction under tighter control, if you only allow that chain reaction to happen, sort of one neutron fires up one U-235 on a very slow process, then you get something that generates energy in a controllable way, and that's the source of the heat that drives a nuclear power station. So the heat from the nuclear fission in a nuclear power station boils water. That water, as steam, drives a turbine. Turbine drives a generator. We get electricity out. No, nuclear fission chain reaction that depends on more neutrons being fired out after the fission than were absorbed by the fission to create it, which means the chain reaction gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. How do you control the chain reaction in a nuclear reactor? You do it by having control rods, which are made of material that likes to absorb neutrons. So your control rods absorb your neutrons. So by having your control rods just the right height inside your reactor, they chew up just enough neutrons to keep the reaction going at the rate you want it to happen. And if you want to stop the reaction, you drop your control rods right in. They chew up, they suck up all of the neutrons that are about, and your reaction really slows down. So control rods, very important in the running of a nuclear reactor. Of course, in a nuclear bomb, you don't have control rods because you want as many neutrons being formed as possible, because you want as much U-235 disintegrating as possible, because you want to release a huge amount of energy in a very short time. That was fission. Easy enough. Then there's fusion. Fusion, like I say, mostly happens in stars. And we just need to think about fusion as two hydrogens stick together. That there, it's in itself isn't all that efficient. A couple of hydrogens stick together, two protons don't actually want to stick. But if two protons then stick together and one of them instantly turns into a neutron, then we've got deuterium, which is hydrogen with one proton and one neutron. And then two deuteriums, they can stick together and form us a helium, and then the heliums can stick together and form us something else, and then they can stick together and form us something else, and they can stick together and form us something else. And that's how all the elements are made in stars. Here on Earth, what are we able to do? Well, we're able to stick the deuteriums together and create helium. We can do that for very, very short times under very controlled processes. It requires huge amounts of heat and energy to make it go, but of course you get more energy back out the other side. We haven't been able to do that in any sort of sustainable way here on Earth yet, but the idea is if we could do that in a sustainable way, then the main waste product of that, of course, is helium. And who cares if we're pumping helium out into the atmosphere? Everybody talks squeaky voices. So the main waste product of that is helium, whereas the main waste product of nuclear fission, of course, is all of those nuclei you get when the uranium splits in two, which I said were horrendously radioactive. So nuclear fusion doesn't have lots of radioactive waste. Nuclear fission does have lots of radioactive waste. Nuclear fusion will be much better for all of us. If we could make it work in a sustained way, they cannot yet make it work in a sustained way. Other advantages to fusion? Well, fission is inherently unstable. If for some reason your control rods jam and you can't lower your control rods in, then you get a runaway reaction, and that's called meltdown, when the reaction gets away from your control and everything gets so hot that it eats its everything starts to melt, and the potential is that your system could actually eat its way through the top of the Earth, create a volcano, a meltdown. And of course, meltdown's always possible. If your control rods get jammed, you can't get your control rods in, you can't bring your reaction to a standstill, your reaction gets out of control. In nuclear fusion, because we have to put so much energy, so much effort into containing it, if it escapes its containment, it cools down. And as soon as it cools down, fusion stops happening. So fission, something goes wrong, we lose control, it all gets horrible. Fusion, something goes wrong, we lose control, fusion stops. Fusion got lots of advantages. No one can make it work at the moment. We've talked about the fact that they are building a massive new experimental reactor in France, and that just about every country in the world has put some money into it, because every country in the world wants to be taking part, because if it ever does work, we all want access to that technology, because it would solve the world's energy problems. Even Kazakhstan has put some money into that reactor. Always makes you giggle when I say Kazakhstan. Even Kazakhstan put some money into that reactor because they want, if fusion happens, they want to be able to build their own fusion reactor and close down everything else that they're using to generate power with at the moment. I have no idea what they use in Kazakhstan. Probably awful, dangerous old Russian fission power stations like the one that blew up at Chernobyl. Okay, so fusion and fission. You need to be able to draw the nuclear fission chain reaction. Page 203 in your textbooks, you need to be able to draw that, and you need to be able to describe what's going on. Fusion, you don't need to be able to describe as much, you just need to be able to talk about the benefits. What is it? We're sticking hydrogens together until we've stuck enough of them together to make helium. I don't think there's anything else I need to say about any of that, is there? Let's have a look. Oh no, look at that, we're into part 3 next, according to the textbook. Right, I'm done.